Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
29 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Pettyjohn, Schultz, and Pinyalberry are excused from the call. I note the presence of Representative Pinyalberry in the chambers.
Our chaplain today is Pastor Daniel McClinton of the First Shiloh Baptist Church. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Father in heaven, we pause right now to thank you for your many blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us from the early of our existence until now. We come to your throne of mercy thanking thee for the men and women of good intention that you have placed in position to make the best and righteous decision. We ask, dear God, that you will lead and guide them in the way that thou will have them to go, making a truthfully and honest decision that men and women of this state and of the world can and will live up to. Father, we ask that thou will keep thy arm protection around us and go with us and stand by us on our daily duties. Blend us together, Father, so close that one cannot fall without the other. Give us peace, love for each other and for the community in which we serve and the state in which we live. These blessings and others we ask in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Representative Herman, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal this morning.
Are there any objection as to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 80th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 80th day in House Supplement number 106.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal for the 80th day in House Supplement number 106 be approved as certified.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journal or the supplement? Hearing no objections, the journal and supplement stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction at this time? Representative Gull.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B today is a friend of mine, a citizen from Haines, a very active member of our state's medical association, and here in Juneau now, on medical issues and also, I'm sure, on insurance issues. I'd like to introduce to you Dr. Stanley Jones. Thank you.
Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have a very special friend of mine who was also a guest page last year and a constituent of Representative Riegers and Pettyjohn. Would you please help me to welcome Lisa McGuire?
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I don't believe that Greg Smith got introduced. He was, he already did? Oh, you just introduced him as well?
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. I wasn't here, I guess.
Welcome back, Greg. Any further guests for introduction? This brings us down to messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citation and is transmitted for consideration. Honoring Paul Brown by Senators Rody, Sackett, Vic Fisher, Josephson, Kurtula, Fake, Sturgiluski, Abood, and Representative Ewing. The Senate approved and transmitted to Legislative Affairs for enrolling the citation honoring Angoon Old-Timer Basketball Team 1986 Gold Medal C Champions.
The citation sent to the House for our consideration will be referred to rules for calendaring.
The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 251 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to regulation of the practice of psychology and providing for an effective date.
Two standing committees, Labor and Commerce, and the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee.
Senate Bill Number 370 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to aid to families with dependent children and to child support and enforcement and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Judiciary.
The Senate concurred in the title amendment to Committee Substitute for House Bill 148, Judiciary, title amended, Mobile Home Warranties and Sales, and it is returned. This bill has been sent to enrolling. No, excuse me, has been sent to the Governor. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution 36 relating to interstate airline travel and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 36 Finance with the same title and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman. Concurring, Adams, Ringstead, Szymanski, Duncan, Larson, Porchot, Euling, Rieger, Frank, Binkley, and Cotton. House Concurrent Resolution Number 36 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 438, penalties for violating the Alaska Historic Preservation Act and providing for an effective date, and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 438, Judiciary, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman. Concurring, Adams, Duncan, Larson, Euling, Porchot, Rieger, Frank, and Cotton. Having no recommendation, Ringstead, Szymanski, and Binkley. House Bill 438 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 537, Participation of Municipalities and Political Subdivisions in the Public Employment Relations Act, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note with analysis. The report was signed by Hurley, Chairman. Concurring, Boucher, Cato, M.M. Miller, and Hurley. Having no recommendation, Collins and Jenkins. House Bill 537 has a further referral to the CNRA Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 542, Corrective Management of Threatened Stocks of Game, and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 542, Resources, with the same title, and it is reported back as follows. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Ringstead, Frank, Rieger, and Cotton. Signing do not pass, Adams, Duncan, and Binkley. Having no recommendation, Szymanski, Larson, and Porchot. House Bill 542 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 601, abolishing inactive boards, councils, commissions, and centers, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Hurley, Chairman. Concurring, Hurley, M.M. Miller, Cato, Boucher, Jenkins, Collins, and Navarre. House Bill 601 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 614, extending the termination date of the Board of Dental Examiners, and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 614 Hess with a new title, recommends it do pass, and attaches a letter of intent and a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by the co-chairs Kopanen and Gruenberg. Concurring, Pettijohn, Gruenberg, Taylor, Hurley, and Kopanen. Thompson signed no recommendation. House Bill 614 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 689, relating to motor vehicles, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 689, Judiciary, with a new title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman. Concurring, Adams, Ringstead, Szymanski, Duncan, Larson, Porchot, Euling, Rieger, Frank, Binkley, and Cotton. House Bill 689 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees. Excuse me. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we move back up to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Maru and I have a constituent in Gallery B, a friend of mine, the mayor of the city of Homer, John Calhoun.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us back down to reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas has considered House Joint Resolution 66 relating to a federal tax on imported oil and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 66 Oil and Gas with a new title and recommends as follows with a fiscal note. The report was signed by Davis, Chairman. Signing do pass, Pinyalberry and Cotton. Signing do not pass, Maru signed, Protectionism never works, only hurts consumers. Davis and Porchot have no recommendation. House Joint Resolution Number 66 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
This pulls us down to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Diamond High School Boys Nordic Ski Team by Representative Hanley.
That'll go to rules for calendaring.
I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 607 by Hanley, Adams, Ringstad, Pettijohn, Larson, Pierce, Collins, Jenkins, Phillips, Maru, Taylor, Furness, Grunberg, Frank, Navarre, and Boucher, an act relating to selecting and identifying art in public places.
This will go to State Affairs, Health, Education, and Social Services, and the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to the consideration of the calendar today. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 355 by Thompson, an act authorizing the establishment and implementation of onboard observer programs and providing for an effective date.
Representative Szymanski, you're seeking the floor.
Could we have brief at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Okay. Before the at ease, the clerk had just read the title to House Bill 355. Would the clerk continue with the committee reports?
The House Special Committee on Fisheries has had House Bill 355 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 355, Fish, with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent and a fiscal note. Report was signed by Gall, Chairman, signing do pass, Gall, Hurley, Thompson, Navarre, and Binkley, having no recommendation, Jenkins and Maru. The Resources Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute House Bill 355, Fisheries, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Herman, co-chair, signing do pass, Herman, M.W. Miller, Thompson, Cato, Jenkins, Pierce, and Wallace. Sun sign, no recommendation, needs amendment. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Fisheries Committee substitute and do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Ringstead, vice chairman, concurring, Cotton, Binkley, Ringstead, Duncan, Szymanski, Frank, Porchot, Rieger, Euling, and Larson. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Fisheries Committee substitute for House Bill 355 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the committee substitute Fisheries? Hearing no objections, committee substitute Fisheries stands adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Fisheries Committee substitute for House Bill 355 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement motion from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 355, Fisheries, by the House Special Committee on Fisheries, an act authorizing the establishment and implementation of onboard observer programs and providing for an effective date.
Is there any debate? Representative Maru.
Mr. Speaker, since this was in the Fisheries Committee on which I sit, and I heard it there, ever since then I've been trying to understand why we need this. I point out that in this era of declining revenues, and we've already had a prediction of $1 billion shortfall for this coming fiscal year, this would cost the first year $275,800, increasing every year to fiscal 91, almost $500,000. I can only assume that it would increase after that so that within another 5 years it would be up to $1 million and so forth. It's adding to the bureaucracy. The fiscal note here shows that the first year there would be 2 part-time and 12 temporary employees additional. That's 14, building up to 22 within the next 5 years. And I assume that will increase further so that within another 5 years it would be 40-some-odd. The fishing industry in Alaska is quite possibly the most regulated industry in the entire United States. I just find it hard to believe, and I certainly am open to suggestions as to why we need another program with more bureaucrats harassing the fishermen more on their own vessels? And just why is it we've been able to get along for all these many decades upon decades without this? In this era of declining revenues, it seems like something that we quite possibly can and should do without.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's with some trepidation I'm standing up. I'm not an expert at fisheries, and I don't intend to be. I'm a lawyer, and I'm concerned about the Constitution, and I make no bones about that. There are a couple of provisions in here that cause me great concern, and that's the only reason I'm up here now. I'd like to call the body's attention to two provisions in the bill. If you look at page 1, lines 23 through page 2, line 1, and if you also turn to page 4, lines 11 and 12, you'll see what I'm talking about, Mr. Speaker. Number 1, this will possibly go beyond the 3-mile limit and get into waters that may be beyond the state's jurisdiction. I don't know specifically whether any of the activities here are beyond the state's jurisdiction and exclusively within federal jurisdiction. I'm just simply raising that issue. The issue that really concerns me is the second issue. The language starts on page 1, line 27, and goes to the top of page 2, and I'm going to read it. A search warrant, criminal or administrative, should not be required in the implementation of a program, since the process of obtaining one would be so cumbersome as to defeat the purpose of the program. That's in the findings section. And that's implemented then on page 4, lines 11 and 12. Implementation of an onboard observer program authorized by the Board of Fisheries. And that's one of the powers that the board of the commissioner has. And implementation does not require criminal or administrative search warrants. I am not in any manner, and I want this understood, speaking in any manner that would impede law enforcement or enforcement of valid fish and game regulations. But any time we pass any bill in this body that wholesale does away with a constitutional protection, that really concerns me. And there was a good reason for having in the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution and in the Alaska Constitution a requirement of a search warrant. It's to stop people from barging into people's houses, going onto their fishing vessels, and into their private property without a court order. It's at the heart of the right of privacy. And when we do away with it wholesale, we cause grave damage to the Constitution. Search warrants in this day and age, particularly under recent U.S. Supreme Court decisions, are not difficult to obtain, particularly by use of radio and other methods. You can get people's testimony to a judge relatively quickly. And when there's a provision that wholesale does away with search warrants, I think that runs grave constitutional difficulties and may very well violate the Constitution of this state and the Constitution of the United States. And we ought to think very, very carefully before we would ever authorize any statute that does such violence to our Constitution. Thank you.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have presently on the statute laws of this state, on the books, a intent to search, which is allowed by given to our enforcement officers where it is either inconvenient or very difficult to obtain a search warrant. That intent to search has been upheld by our Supreme Court. And as you can well imagine, a boat on the high seas, some distance offshore, a patrol boat comes by and perceives that there may be some reason to search and to determine whether or not a criminal activity is taking place, has only to serve a notice of intent to search upon the vessel owner. They can then board that vessel and do that search. That has been upheld. I do believe that the representative who spoke before me has raised some serious questions. However, I do not believe it's the intent of this legislation to expand that right to search a vessel beyond that which we have previously given under the intent to search. And I would ask for the patience of the body, if we might have a brief at ease, I could discuss this with the representative to see if we can ameliorate some of these concerns.
Would the House please stand at ease? Would the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Is there any further debate?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Adams.
Thank you. May we revert to introductions of guests, please?
Are there any objections? Hearing
yes.
None.
A friend of mine, Craig Watts and Gallard B. Mr. Speaker, on the bill. Just basically, I'd like to address the fiscal note that's presently before you. My libertarian friend referred to the $275,000, of which it has $75,000 in general funds. The balance of that is program receipts of $200,000. It's from a civil court that still will have to get authorization from budget and audit. But this is a one-time general fund. The balance going on to 88 on would be from other sources, as long as there can be an agreement between the state of Alaska and federal government. But that's basically a one-time general fund of 75. The balance of that is program receipts. Still has to go through budget and audit.
Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just basically a little bit of the testimony that I heard up in Finance Committee. First of all, I was unconvinced that this bill was a bill that would be worthy of passage. And then we took testimony, I believe, in the Finance Committee, which indicated from one of the fish processors that the tax that is charged at the many of the ports that are around the state for fishing, we're finding that a lot of those people are taking those catches outside of the state, and we're not getting that 4% tax or 6% tax or whatever it is. And I was rather unconvinced voting for the bill, but I think that I can really see the wisdom in it, and that we're going to have to police a lot better the fishermen that are out there, in one sense of the word, and try to find out where some of these catches are going. I notice when I'm in Seattle that most of our catch ends up in Seattle or on the West Coast and not in Alaska, and we want to encourage fish processing in Alaska. I know some of the other representatives have worked on fish processing and trying to get onshore fish processing, and this might be a stimulant toward that.
Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, following up on the speaker who just spoke, one of the things that has been occurring as far as revenue is concerned, that is that the offshore processors, the processing vessels, have not been paying their tax to the raw fish tax of 5% to the state of Alaska. By the time there's an opportunity to observe their catch and this sort of thing, they've been long gone. They come back in, fish the waters, and leave. I think it's very, very necessary that we have an observer who can board those boats and finally try to make a decision on this thing once and for all about the floating processors.
Any further debate? Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess the question I'd have, and maybe why I'm really a little cautious about this one, because I'm going to ask possibly the Judiciary Chairman or one of the other distinguished attorneys in the body to help me out on it, because I noticed the bill didn't get scrutinized through the judiciary process, but I am a little concerned about that question of it does not require criminal or administrative search warrants. And I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, if evidence is found that is done without one of these procedures, can that evidence be used to prosecute one of these shipping entities or one of these processing entities or whatever? Because it seems to me that if you're not following due process and you're waiving it somehow, then you're jeopardizing the ability to really be able to control and bring about damages against these individuals who I think that should be paying damages when indeed they're out there reaping a harvest, potentially illegally. So I guess with that, I'd like to find out some clarification.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me first address the issue of the search warrant in general. It's my understanding from review of the bill, though it's not specifically stated in the bill, but there are no requirements in the bill which would allow the department, with the exception of page 5, and I don't find that to be sufficient authority, in my opinion, for the department to require or mandate that an observer be lodged upon a vessel. In essence, each of these observers are invitees upon the vessel and would only be there if the consent had been given by the master of that vessel for that person to be on board. You have the same situation occurring where a police officer knocks on the door of an apartment and is invited into that apartment by the owner or a person designated by the owner to give such authority or consent. That officer does not need a search warrant once he has been invited into that property for those things that he sees unobstructed view in front of him. He doesn't have the right to go rooting around through the closets, of course, but he certainly can see anything that's around there. The same principles would apply here. And as a consequence, since these people would not get on board without the consent of the vessel owner, I really do not believe that it's necessary to have this language within the bill discussing the search warrant. It's surplus language, I think, at that point. And I would suggest that it probably would be beneficial and remove a lot of fears if we actually just took that language out of the bill through amendment at this time.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That would cure some of my problems, and possibly on reconsideration that could be done if necessary. I would certainly support such an amendment. To answer the representative from Potter Marsh's question, the rule is, if you obtain evidence illegally or unconstitutionally, that evidence may not be used in a criminal prosecution. It's called the exclusionary rule. With respect to what the representative from Wrangell said, if there is an observer on the vessel and evidence is in plain view, you don't need a search warrant. If it's not in plain view, the mere fact that somebody is standing there observing doesn't give them the right to go in the hold and look at other things that are not in plain view. The plain view exception means exactly that. An observer, unless they're given permission by the vessel owner, can't go rooting around and searching throughout the holds and everything else in the vessel. They can see what is in readily plain view within the area of the invited search, but they can't go beyond that. I agree with my friend from Wrangell, and I think that that language that is causing all this problem could be removed without any damage, from what I can see, to the bill, and I would support such an amendment. Could be done on reconsideration.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the debate here this morning, and I'd like to address a few of the concerns that have been raised. Earlier, one of my colleagues suggested that we could do without this program. I have to take strong exception to that suggestion, and I would like to make sure that everyone in the body understands this program is by request of the fishing industry. The people involved in the industry are the ones that want this program. Indeed, they're the ones that need this program. In the process of this bill moving through the committee system, I have yet to hear an objection from anyone involved in the fishing industry, all elements of it. They are the ones that perceive the need. The second point I'd like to make relative to the function of the observers, most of the debate here this morning has focused on the enforcement provisions. From my perspective, the greater value of this program is the data gathering function. What we're needing here is information about the biological status of the fisheries. These people will provide that data. It will enable the Board of Fish, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, etc., to set quotas based on honest information rather than a guess, which frankly is what they have to do now. So I would urge the body to focus less on the enforcement aspect of this and focus more on the biological data gathering that really is the purpose, the intent here of the legislation. Relative to the constitutional questions about a search warrant that have been raised, my understanding is that the observers would be placed only on vessels where the captain has invited the observer aboard. Now, this is not a perfect piece of legislation. Indeed, in my short tenure, I've yet to see one that is. And these kinds of questions have been raised through the committee process, but I don't frankly see that that's a problem. The skippers, we're not talking about a whole-scale program here. I might also remind the body that the fiscal note at present does call for an additional $75,000 from the general fund, and that is a very minimal effort. This is a pilot program. It's not going to stretch very far, but it will at least satisfy the need to gather some data that will give us a better fishery in those specific areas which Fish and Game have identified that these observers should go in. And I certainly think it's well worth the money. And since it would be by invitation of the skippers, the question of a search warrant does not really pose a problem. The Draggers, for instance, Association, are one of the strongest supporters of this bill, because the incidental catch numbers that are bandied about, they feel are highly unrealistic and simply are not accurate. These observers would be able to provide honest information about how much of an incidental catch problem exists out there. And they're happy to take these observers on board so that they can come up with honest information when it comes to setting quotas and things of that nature. The last point I'd like to make, Mr. Speaker, is that this is an instrumental program to get started. It's only going to work on the long term if two things happen. One, that we have a cooperative observer program with the federal government. The representative raised a question about jurisdiction, and that's a very good point. It isn't going to work in the long term unless the federal government comes up with their own observer program, and secondly, that they are willing to fund that observer program to work in conjunction with the states. The last point I'd like to make, Mr. Speaker, is that the whole purpose of this legislation is to help the fisheries. There's a very real need out there to Americanize the Alaskan fishing industry. This will help. I thank you.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, the sponsor of this legislation has previously on this floor argued very in a very articulate manner that we should not, in this time of financial crisis, be establishing new programs. And that we should not be spending additional money on those programs till we know where the spending plan is how the spending plan is going to work out. Mr. Speaker, I agree with that, and that's why I'm going to vote against this bill. I heard the finance chairman, but I suggest that you read the fiscal note. The suggestion is that there's only $70,000 of general fund money in it. Well, that's I suppose that's technically correct. But the fiscal note says this change, meaning that the change, there will be no more general fund money, is based on the assumption that $200,000 from the civil settlement of the Baranoff case will be approved by budget and audit for expenditure on the onboard observer program for FY87. Well, of course, if that money is not transferred to the onboard observer program, it goes into the general fund. So let's not fool ourselves that we're not spending money that otherwise comes from the general fund and money that might well go to mitigate some of the disastrous cuts that are being proposed in the rest of the fish and game budget and the fish and wildlife protection budget. There are serious cuts being considered in those budgets, and we're taking money to establish a new program here. That fiscal problem, that concept of creating a new program, plus the very serious questions that have been raised about the search and seizure question, and let no one be fooled, this legislation is a wholesale overhaul of the Bill of Rights with regard to warrantless searches. It's very significant. I'm very concerned about it, and therefore I'm going to vote against the legislation.
Representative Miller.
A couple of other concerns, too. First of all, I want to second my concern on the search and seizure portion, the search warrant thing. In the first place, I think there's even technical drafting difficulties, when we say does not require criminal or administrative search warrants, I frankly don't know what that means, and I think a judge would have a hard time knowing what that means. It seems to me if you're going to say you can't issue search warrants, then that's what you say, you can't. Or if you, or else you say you can, but does not require, I don't know what that means. I don't think anybody on this floor can tell me with precision what that means either. Is it or doesn't it require? Does it or not allow criminal administrative search warrants? I don't know. It just says require. So I'm confused about that. And also, though, I wanted to raise another point. We suddenly seem to be talking about by invitation only. Mr. Speaker, I look on page 5, line 25, and I see the word require. This tells me that the Board of Fish and Game can require. And actually, maybe it's a good idea. I'm not saying it's not a bad idea at all to require these people to be on board. But let's don't be saying this is going to be a by invitation only thing if we're saying that the Fish and Game Department can require as a condition for fishing in grounds that are under the administration of the state that there be an onboard observer, because that's what it does say. It says requiring in a fishery. Of course, there are certain conditions that have to be met, but those are very reasonable conditions, and I presume they'll be met. So I'm a little confused by the comments that we hear and then the language that I read. And so for both of those reasons, I've got a lot of concern about this bill myself. And I think I too at this on this go around at least will have to vote no.
Representative Pignalberry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know there are some concerns with the bill, but I also know there's a very real problem out there, and I don't think it's good enough just to say because we might have a constitutional problem, and we're trying to give the protection of our Constitution to individuals and companies who are in some cases foreign and do not subscribe to the same Bill of Rights that we do. Oh, we're going to have to do something different. We've got to deal with the problem. But I have four questions that I hope will lead us in the right direction. Number one, would the sponsors of the legislation tell us what the number of U.S. vessels, foreign vessels, and Alaskan vessels are that we would anticipate putting observers on? And then I'd like to know if this is in fact duplicative of the federal program, and if whether or not it is, how come we don't have federal funds involved, because we're trying to protect what is a national resource, not only an Alaskan resource. And finally, as I read the bill and understand how the fund is supposed to be set up to collect these other fees, would that not require a specific account to be set up in the general fund, which this legislation does not do? And do we need to change that?
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to answer the questions of the gentleman, because I'm not the sponsor, but I did want to talk just a little bit about the fiscal note. And the finance chairman correctly stated that the proposal is $75,000 of general fund and then other funds, which are the result of a lawsuit, and then in future years, other fish and game funds, not general fund money. But of course, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, no one knows for sure that those funds are going to materialize. But most important, I think, right now in my consideration is the fact that we do not have together, as the majority leader stated, a financial plan. And quite honestly, as chairman of the subcommittee on fish and game, as I've looked at that budget and as I've looked at the proposed reductions in that budget, they're going to be massive. The potential for reductions in the fish and game budget are massive. One thing that the gentleman from the Department of Fish and Game did say in the Finance Committee when he testified on this bill is that he would not take this program over and above other programs that they presently have. They were not willing to accept this program and reduce other programs. And that's what it's going to come down to if this bill goes on through the legislative process with this fiscal note attached. We're going to have to trade some program that is presently ongoing in the Department of Fish and Game, whether it be in the field of enhancement or wherever, we're going to have to trade it for this program. And the Fish and Game Department said they did not think that was a worthwhile trade. I think the bill has a lot of merit. I think it's probably a good program, but when you're in a period of declining revenues, I think you have to evaluate the impact of that before you pass the legislation. I think that at this point, we're a little bit premature. We need to know the total reduction in the fish and game budget. We need to know how this program is going to impact other programs that that department's doing. And quite honestly, as chairman of that subcommittee, I can't yet say I know that. So, Mr. Chairman, at this point, I also have problems with the bill and believe that we're moving prematurely on it.
Any further debate? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the concerns about the fiscal note attached to this or any other program. I'm happy to see that the majority leader has had a change of heart there and decided that such questions are, in fact, valid. I note that in earlier legislation, it wasn't valid enough to impede the progress of other legislation, and I guess I simply will say to the body, this is a priority decision that we have to make. Is a program of this nature worth spending up to perhaps $75,000 to get it started? From my perspective, it certainly is, and I ask the body to vote in favor of this legislation.
Representative Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could you please have the clerk read the Finance Committee report, the due passes on that, please?
Irene, go ahead.
Replaced with the Fisheries Committee substitute and due pass, signing due pass, Cotton, Binkley, Ringstad, Duncan, Zemanski, Frank, Porcheau, Rieger, Euling, and Larson.
Representative Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further debate? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, this will cost more than $70,000.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 355, Fisheries, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
32 yeas, 6 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 355, Fisheries, has passed the House. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage of Committee substitute for House Bill 355 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause stands adopted. Representative Clarkson.
I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for House Bill 355.
Okay. We do have a letter of intent tied in with that. Notice of reconsideration has been given on committee substitute for House Bill 355, Fisheries. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I understand there may be a possible amendment to the letter of intent, but to put it on the table, I move that the letter of intent by the Special Committee on Fisheries on Committee Substitute for House Bill 355, Fisheries, be approved.
Are there any objections? Representative Gull.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the letter of intent, which is in the journal, the page is listed on the calendar, there are three subsections. I'd like to move that we delete subsection 2, which would allocate fines and confiscation of vessels, gear, catches resulting from fishing violations of state and federal waters. This would allocate funds from those confiscations to the program. I delete subsection 2 in the letter of intent and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? I believe the motion has been moved to delete subsection 2, did you say, Representative Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Hearing objections, Representative Pinyalberry.
The reasoning why we should delete Section 2. It was one of the favorable features of the letter, in my estimation.
Representative Gull.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the members was concerned that it would take away from the dedication of those funds for use in domestic enforcement efforts, and I think the matter can be addressed later, possibly when the bill is up on reconsideration, if you'd like to discuss it with the Resources Chair.
Are objections maintained to the amendment to the letter of intent? Your objections, okay. Are you ready for the question? Representative Clarkson.
Just for procedural reasons, is the amendment to the letter of intent in writing?
The amendment to the letter of intent is not in writing.
I don't think we need it distributed, but I suggest the clerk needs something.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's now on the clerk's desk.
Okay. Representative Pinalberry.
Mr. Speaker, procedural inquiry, if I may. Would this vote on the letter of intent, the amendment to the letter of intent, be subject to reconsideration separately?
Well, not separately. You'd have the whole letter of intent, and then you'd go back to it.
Okay.
Thank you. Are you ready for the question? Shall the amendment be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
30 yeas, 7 nays.
The amendment to the letter of intent has been adopted. Representative Clarkson.
I have a question on the letter of intent. Subparagraph 1, the letter of intent requests that they explore imposing reasonable fees upon the fishing fleets for which the observer coverage is targeted. I've looked through the bill. It does not grant the authority to levy those fees. Is there authorization in existing law to allow the commissioner to levy fees on a fishing fleet without legislative authorization?
Representative Gull.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know the answer to that. The original language that I had supported would have put that into the bill itself. There was concern by certain members as to the imposition of fees and also other points in the letter of intent, so it was put into a letter of intent rather than into the bill. I think since the bill is up for reconsideration, this is something that should be studied possibly by the Judiciary Committee. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Shall the letter of intent fisheries members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
36 yeas, 2 nays.
The letter of intent has been adopted. Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 26 by the Judiciary Committee. Suspending Uniform Rule 41B of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill Number 155.
I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, and the concurrent resolution is in second and final reading, is there any debate? Representative Clarkson.
Just to explain, Mr. Speaker, as the resolution indicates, the rule requires that before a title of a bill can be changed in the other body, that the rule be suspended by a two-thirds vote of this body and the other body. If you'll look in your limbo file, you can compare the two titles to see that there has been some proposed Senate changes. My understanding is that those changes have been concurred in by the primary people interested in this legislation in the House. So the next procedural step is to allow us to suspend the rule so that we can accept the Senate amendments with the different Senate title.
Representative Porcheau.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if maybe the Majority Leader would explain to me, and this is something that I've wondered about for a while, the difference between the action that we're proposing to take now on suspending the rules for title change versus sending bills back and forth for the other body to make title changes.
We went into that not too long ago. Representative Clarkson.
No, I cannot explain that.
Are you ready for the question? Oh, Representative Phillips.
Speaker, I plan on voting no on this, and I'll just tell you why. The reason I was involved with changing the rules, and I feel that the only time you should really change it, and there's other mechanisms and other ways of doing what we're trying to do here, but the only reason from my point of view, and changing the title should be in emergency situations, and I don't believe this is an emergency situation. So therefore, I'll be voting no on the suspension of the rules.
Okay. Representative Gull. Our problem, of course, is a different interpretation of those rules, and to expedite it, this seems to be the best way to move. Any further questions? Are you ready for the question? The question is, should Senate Concurrent Resolution 26 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
36 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 26 has passed the House. We have some final action on some citations before us today. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations appearing on today's calendar be approved.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Representative Davis? Is there an objection to the citation?
Objection.
Hearing no objections, the citations stand approved. Representative Davis, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 194.
Would the clerk? Representative Davis, I believe that's a Senate bill, but...
I'd like to bring up the reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 194.
Okay. Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 194, Resources by the Resources Committee. An act relating to certification of water and wastewater systems and facilities operators and providing for an effective date.
Okay, the bill is before us in third reading. Is there any debate?
Questions?
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 194, Resources, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
38 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 194, Resources, has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on final passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 194, Resources, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection? That's the adoption of the effective date clause. Hearing no objection, the effective date clause stands approved. This brings us down to unfinished business. Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up reconsideration of House Bill 321 at this time.
Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee Substitute for House Bill 321, Finance Amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to adverse claims and boundary disputes and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 321, Finance Amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
36 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 321, Finance Amended, has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 321, Finance Amended, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted. Still under unfinished business, Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, several excused absences. I move and ask unanimous consent that
Representative Porchot, Porchot be excused from the call of the House upon adjournment Friday, April 18 through plain time Monday, April 21. Representative Kopanen, upon adjournment Friday, May 2 until Monday, plain time Monday, May 5. Representative Hanley be excused from the call of the House. I believe that's all day Friday, April 4th, until plain time. Representative Hanley excused upon adjournment Friday, April 4th, until plain time Monday, April 7th. Representative Phillips, upon adjournment April 25 through plain time Monday, April 28th. Representative Collins be excused from the call of the House upon adjournment April 4 until plain time April 7. Representative Furness be excused from the call of the House Friday, April 4 through Sunday, April 6. I think that's all.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, those representatives that were mentioned are excused from the call of the House. Representative Clarkson.
Message on House Bill 155. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 155 Judiciary, thereby adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 155 Rules, and ask the members to vote yes.
Is there any debate or discussion? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 155 Rules? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
37 yeas, no nays.
The House concurs in the Senate amendments. We are still under unfinished business. Any further unfinished business to come before this body? Brings us down to announcements of standing committees and special committees. General announcements. Special orders.
Mr. Speaker, under announcements, Majority Caucus upon adjournment.
Any further announcements?
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Any objections?